next door, pushing past overgrown shrubs that invaded from either side. A man dressed in a cream jacket with a bright blue cravat stood at the door.
"I haven't slept," he said. "I kept thinking my house was going to fall down. Can you imagine?"
He was in his 60s, maybe older, thin and fragile.
"They said it's safe, but I'm not terribly sure. Are you here to ask about the unpleasantness?"
His hair was dyed an unlikely shade of black. He looked Breen up and down.
"I suppose you'd better come in."
Breen waited in the living room while the man made a cup of tea, emerging from the kitchen finally with a porcelain cup and saucer that rattled as he walked. The man sat down at a small, ornate desk. Behind him, there was a thin crack in the striped wallpaper. Breen wondered if it was new.
"I never really liked being semi-detached anyway," he said dryly. "Of course, the council have offered me one of their little flats, but can you imagine? I don't trust these skyscrapers. They're always falling down all over the place, aren't they? I'd rather be crushed under a pile of bricks, like poor Mr. Pugh."
"Did you know him?"
"Not in the slightest. He was really not my sort," said the man with a twitch of the lips. He had the sort of papery voice the old have when they smoke too many cigarettes.
"Did he have a girlfriend?"
The man looked sour. "Billions. Do you have a fag by any chance?"
Breen noticed he had a pack of Park Drives on the coffee table in front of him. An effeminate brand of cigarette, Breen thought. He felt in his pocket for his own. He bought one packet of 10 every other morning from the newsagent before he caught the bus and used them to divide up his day. He didn't like giving them away, but he handed one over. The man's fingers were stained with nicotine. He leaned forward to light it and sucked hard, pulling in his cheeks.
"Anyone regular? Anyone you'd recognize?"
The man made a face.
"I'm not a bloody snoop, if that's what you're suggesting," he said, and blew smoke through his nose. "Besides, the girls never lasted long," he said. "He discarded them. You'd often hear some dreadful floozy weeping by the door. For pity's sake, he wasn't that good looking."
"But no one you'd recognize?" There was a patch of unshaved hair under his left nostril.
"As I said, I'm not interested in young girls."
"But Mr. Pugh was." The click of spittle in his mouth.
"Clearly.
There must have been someone who called regularly." The man turned his head away.
"The truth is, I'm half blind. Can't hardly see a thing. A bit of a handicap. I'd ask you to sit closer, but I'm not that keen on policemen either."
"Did you hear anything unusual last night?" The gas could have been on for hours, seeping down into the house's basement. It would have accumulated there slowly. The firemen had gone through the rubble looking for some kind of detonation mechanism, a match tied to an alarm clock striker, maybe, but they hadn't found anything yet in all the mess. Though the doctor had not yet completed his report, Breen reckoned the man would have been dead for a few hours before the explosion.
"Unusual," said the man,
stretching all four syllables of the word as far as they could go.
"Apart from a socking big bang."
He curled his lip.